I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Man, that is a,
Dude, that's pretty good.
This is The Gloom, bringing you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha Packs, exploring their F3 experiences and finding those sticky elements that create the glue in the gloom.
Shout out to our sponsors. Major Team Mortgage, Omaha Laser Dentistry, Exclusively Eye Care, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avier Wealth Management, and Apex Men's Clinic. We appreciate their support.
Liberty Core Real Estate is your homegrown real estate broker. If you're looking to buy or sell real estate, whether personal or investment, Armando, aka Brian, and Megan Michaels' company is ready to serve you. With Command Center in Old Town Elkhorn and agents all throughout the metro, they are more than ready to guide and serve you in your next real estate endeavor. Whether your next move needs to happen now or in 5 years, call or text Armando at 402-770-2165 to get your questions answered. In a special offer for F3 Nation PAX members, Liberty Core will donate $250 to your sponsor of choosing for every closed transaction. Stop looking, start finding today with Liberty Core Real Estate.
Yo, it's the Plague. We recorded this episode with Barbershop on September 9th, and as some of you may be aware, I had some pretty terrible news come to his family on the 29th of September after we recorded this. So stay tuned to the end. I did get a note from Barbershop and we'll share an update. Let's get into the interview. And we're back. Man, I'm excited to get this guy on. We were able to finally get it scheduled after going back and forth with schedule changes on both sides. So I'm glad to get this guy's story out there. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this guy has probably the best calves in all of F3 Omaha. I don't know if Slow Pitch is listening or not. He might want to debate that, but no, I've just enjoyed getting to know this guy over the last couple of years. And I got our man Barbershop, who's just recently site Q at the Combine. Good to see you, man. And where we like to have guys start off is just tell us your EH story, who EH'd you, what was that first workout like, and then how'd you get the name Barbershop?
Yeah, that's kind of a fun story. Well, I'll start with Beaver EH'd me. Beaver and I are in a Bible study that meets on Tuesday morning. So he mentioned it a handful of times. He wasn't too pushy about it. But after several times that summer of skipping my morning run, I was like, okay, I need a little bit more accountability. Let me join this group that Beaver's been bugging me about. So posted for the first time at Top Rope. Hard Hat was on the queue. It was his 3-year anniversary. So that means Hard Hat and I have the same anniversary, August 25th. And so workout was good. He was honoring, I can't remember the guy's name. So it was kind of like multiple generations of F3 kind of all culminating in this one beat down. So at the circle afterwards, you know, we're standing around and people are asking questions. And at the time I was in a whole bunch of adult sports leagues. So I was playing sand volleyball and softball. And that was basically all that like really came out from the questions guys were asking me. And so in the circle, U-Haul was there and he named me Play It Again, as in like Play It Again Sports.
Okay.
And we're kind of like, I mean, it's not the best name, whatever. And then we're at coffee afterwards at Karma and Beaver was like, oh dude, how did we forget that you were in a college a cappella group? Mm-hmm. And that didn't come up during the circle. And we're like, oh man, yeah, that you did so many great names out of that. No. So we're just kind of tossing it around and we're like, maybe Pitch Perfect or, you know, the Troublemakers from that movie or something. And I kind of leaned on Hard Hat. I was like, you know, I think these names are all a lot better than Play It Again.
Play It Again, yeah.
And he was like, all right, since we haven't posted the back blast yet, I'm going to make a call that it's still not permanent. So mm-hmm. we're going to change your name to Barbershop, as in Barbershop Quartet. And I was like, that's great. That is so much better than yeah. Play It Again.
Thank you.
And so we got it locked in, and that's where the name came from. Now, what's really funny about that is a lot of guys don't know that whole story. And so they assume that like I work at a barbershop or I own a barbershop. And so I'll get compliments all the time. Like, oh yeah, barbershop. That makes sense. You always have really nice hair. I'm like, well, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Your beard's always looking fresh and you got a nice cut. So. That's awesome. Oh, I love that. I kind of remember that. I don't know if I was there or not, but I remember hearing about that, right? Because it's rare for us to change a guy's name or let him change it. I let Papa Smurf change his name like before we even prayed. I forget what we even named him, but he was just like, he was like, no, that's not going to work. I was like, man, that's pretty bold for a new guy to just. Well, tell us about the workout. What did you think of that first? Was it hard or was it, you know, more or less difficult than what Beaver had kind of let it out to be? Or what was that like?
I would say it was right in line with what I was expecting. Mm-hmm. I played a lot of sports, been through a lot of hard workouts, like playing sports in my life. And so it was kind of like right on par with like a high school basketball workout or something.
Okay.
There were like four stations and. Hard hat has always got like unique things we were doing. So we were doing like lunges, but like also had coupons over our head at the same time and, you know, things like that. So it was hard, but it wasn't like impossible. And like I said, I had been running a lot at the time. So I had like the lungs for it. Mm-hmm. I just hadn't squatted a lot recently or something, you know. So I was sore in unique ways that I, you know, hadn't been in a while. But overall, I was like, yeah, this is what I'm looking for. This level of difficulty, the length of the workout. You know, I think, you know, because the first F is what gets a lot of guys out in the gloom first place. Sure. And that to me was like perfect. It was exactly what I was looking for. So yeah.
That's awesome.
Hard, but not too hard.
Yeah, that's good, right? That's kind of what we want, right? We don't want it to be like so difficult that you don't come back, right? I mean, you know, although we have that every once in a while. I'm curious, give us a little bit of your backstory. Like, where'd you grow up and talk us through like high school sports? It sounds like you maybe played, I don't know, basketball, football, whatever, but talk us through that. Like, it sounds like you've been involved in some sort of physical activity, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I grew up in Texas in the Dallas Fort Worth area, a city called Arlington. It's right between Dallas and Fort Worth. It's where all the major sports teams play. I'd like to point out that's where the Rangers play. It's where the Cowboys play. And so I grew up like 15 minutes away from those teams. So growing up, my family was a basketball family. I played basketball from age 4 to high school. And then I also played tennis in high school. So a lot of like big time cardio sports, like you got to have a lot of lungs and a lot of legs to play those at a high level. Not to say I was particularly high level, but you know, a lot of conditioning. Like I said, basketball, we played all the way through. My sister played in college. My dad played in college. And so I played all the way until high school when it didn't work anymore for my schedule. I had other academic pursuits and the way we did scheduling there, you had to like fully commit to basketball and they did like block scheduling. So you had to have like one period every day. So like basically two periods committed to basketball. I didn't have that in my schedule and tennis worked better for that. So played tennis all the way through. And then, once I got into college, it was a lot of like intramural sports. I played a ton of volleyball in college. And then tennis and basketball. And then once you get out of college, it's hard to find adult leagues that play at the right level. Either it's like super rec and like, you know, it's just like having fun with your buddies, or it's like way too intense for these like washed up guys who could have made a pro if it weren't for that one knee injury or something, you know? And then you throw kids in the mix and it's hard to continue to play sports, you know, like, oh, I can't make Tuesday nights anymore. Oh, and now I can't make Thursday nights. And now I can't make Wednesday nights because I got to be at all these youth practices. And so that's actually when I started running a lot, is because, okay, this is a solo activity, good for, you know, cardio, good for fitness. I can do it whenever I want to.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And and so that worked for a while until I was like, okay, I need some connection to continue this and some accountability, and in comes F3.
That's awesome. So growing up, my dad played tennis and he had huge calves. I'm sort of making a connection here. No, I don't know. Do people give you a hard time about your calves? I mean, they're beautiful. I mean, I don't know. I noticed that when I'm running.
It's all in, you know, good fun. It all comes from a place of jealousy, you know, I must imagine.
Yeah, that's right.
I will say, I think, I don't know if this is really true, but I've always heard that like a big part of how big your calves is genetic. Oh, like, okay. So I've had big calves since I was like six.
Okay.
In sixth grade. Like, they've always been big. I've always gotten comments on them. I'm like, I haven't really been training these, just you know.
You don't do a lot. Do a lot of calf raises at night. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I love the connection, because I do think a fair number of us try to do like intramural, or I did sand volleyball for a while and then softball, but those were just like, we're drinking and on a court somewhere or a field, yes, and not really, you know, playing or getting a workout per se. But what, you know, as you think about kind of where like this fitness journey, where are you at today? Are you achieving some of those goals? You feel like you're in a good spot health-wise, or how would you kind of rate yourself?
Yeah, overall? I would say there's a whole lot of excitement with doing all of these new things where you discover them for the first time. Like the first time you run a marathon, or the first time you run a half marathon, you're like, man, that was so awesome. What's next? I kind of almost feel that way a little bit with F3, like, oh man, it was so awesome getting to be part of the group, and then, oh, I get to lead a site for a whole year. And then I kind of find myself in this, okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. I think I'm kind of searching for what's that next goal on the horizon.
Yeah.
What's the next thing I want to try and achieve in this fitness world. And because I don't know that, I feel a little aimless, you know. I'm kind of trying to find something to scratch that itch to really put a new fire in me. Right now it feels like I'm just kind of in maintenance mode, trying to find something that'll really, you know, tickle my fancy and get me to push harder and strive for more.
Are you doing IPC?
I am not.
Oh, well, you should. That would be the next thing, right?
Yeah.
What's keeping you from doing IPC?
Well, not really great reasons other than, like, I kind of forgot about it.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Never too late. It's only week one.
Yeah. Yeah. I could certainly hop in. I think I saw this is Monday of week one. So there's going to be somewhere posting this week, right?
Yeah. You should try it. I will say IPC, it's nice, right? Once a year, you just go sort of balls to the wall and like really push yourself. Like, how fast can I do certain things? But you have to also be reasonable and remember how old we are now and not get injured, right? It's sort of like it's a good balance there. But I love that. And I think, you know, in terms of leadership, and we'll get into this later, but we're constantly trying to find ways to take guys who are a site queue and then find another spot, right? Because you obviously have a ton of value to the group. So we can chat through that here as we get further on. But curious, what kind of along this journey, what brought you to Omaha from, like, I guess, where'd you go to college, and then what landed you here?
Yeah. Went to school at Texas A&M.
Okay.
That's where I met my wife, and she is a doctor. So she did medical school in Fort Worth, you know, that's 4 years. So when I graduated, I worked in Fort Worth for 3 years because she was 1 year ahead of me. And then she did her residency here at Children's Hospital.
Cool.
And so we moved here. I work for the Army Corps of Engineers. They had an office in Fort Worth, and they have an office here. And so it was like a super easy transition for my career to just be like, oh, well, yeah, I don't have to find a new job. I'll just, you know, transfer offices if my bosses were totally cool with that. So
yeah,
it worked out really good. We moved here in 2014. So she wrapped up her residency in 2017, and we didn't think we were sticking around. We thought this is going to be 3 years and out. You know, I'm from Texas. She's from New Mexico. You know, especially me, I was like, I don't think I can do winters, you know, with snow on the ground and all this. And so we really thought we'd be 3 years and out. But you know, Omaha is a great place to raise a family. I've tried to describe it to a lot of people back home, but it's like everything in Omaha is kind of like geared towards a family, you know. You got your downtown entertainment that has like slides for the kids. Like, right. What downtowns have slides for the kids? Right. That's certainly not as common. Like the whole city is like built and developed with being a good place to raise a family. And so we were like, well, she didn't want to move to my hometown simply because I didn't want to move to her hometown. I feel like I had objective reasons why I thought going to her hometown was a bad idea. And she was like, well, if that's the case, then we're not going back to your hometown. So we're like, okay, well, if we're not moving back to Texas, we're not moving to New Mexico, oh, it's a great place to be. Let's just stay here.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and so the Army Corps of Engineers, is that how your connection to Beaver? Because he works there right. too, right? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. We used to sit like, I don't know, 100 feet from each other probably.
Yeah.
We both like moved on to different positions. But yeah, that's how we got to know each other.
Okay. And he does, he has to go to Panama a couple times right. a year or whatever, right? So you got the better yeah. end of that deal. No, well, you know, curious, because you mentioned a little bit in there, you know, as you think about fitness and then fellowship, right? Sort of like, how do you build quality male friendships with guys, right, that are in this community that, you know, is like, you know, for you. So I'm guessing you only know the people you work with and whoever your wife knows from work. So I guess talk me through that. Were you doing the men's Bible study with Beaver before F3 and maybe had some friends there? Or how did you go about building some of those relationships?
Yeah, yeah. So Beaver and I go to Brookside Church. And so we had been in a Bible study for, I guess that Bible study had started, it was before COVID. So it must have been 2019 or so, maybe 2018. I can't even remember at this point. But so yeah, we were meeting every Tuesday morning. And so, yeah, so that's always like kind of a hard thing to figure out, is how to form new meaningful friendships when you're an adult. Because so much of friendship is like built on having a common experience. And so you got to go through things together. You know, Bible study helps that a little bit. You know, we get together and we talk about hard things, but again, we are still just kind of sitting around talking about things. We're not really doing things together. Mm-hmm. I think like F3 has that secret sauce of like, well, let's just make up a hard thing and do it together.
Yeah.
And so that now we have these like, you know, war stories, quote unquote, of like, oh man, remember when we did that crazy beatdown when it was a blizzard and 50, you know, 20 below zero and 30 mile an hour went. Yeah, that was crazy, man. It's so awesome. Yeah. Like, I think for men in particular, that kind of shoulder to shoulder, not necessarily face to face, but shoulder to shoulder accomplishing something together is like foundational to like a meaningful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, F3 is, I'm sure it's intentional that they built it that way so that to form these meaningful relationships requires that element to it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I think they talk about that a little bit in Freed to Lead, right? Of like, you know, getting out there doing something, right? And if it's something challenging that, and you feel like you kind of overcame, you know, I love the example of the winter or like the winter or the rain, like the beatdowns with bad weather. Those are always the ones where you're like, man, remember that time, you know? Well, talk us through, you know, so as you're thinking about F3 and the relationships there, like what were some of the things you did that sort of were effective in building friendships? Was it coffee or being, you know, extroverted and talkative at beatdowns? What was kind of your approach to that?
Yeah, it was certainly coffees, and then also pre-runs, I think were a big factor for me. Not only because like you're running next to maybe one or two other guys, but it takes a certain level of intentionality to be like, not only am I going to be there at 5:30, I'm going to be there at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you specifically to come with me. Like, Scuba and I, when we both first started, we kind of found ourselves at the same site slot. And I was like, hey, why don't we pre-run tomorrow? And he was like, yeah, okay. And then all of a sudden we're like pre-running together, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. And you get to know somebody a lot better when you're grinding out a run with them for 30 minutes, just the two of you. So, that kind of extra element, it kind of brings together like I've always been running races for the past several years. So bringing that element of like, this is something that I know is really effective for me personally on a fitness level, but also like, I'm going to bring somebody else into it to help us like both push each other to do more. It's like, we're helping each other reach each other's goals.
Yeah.
Personally and like within the group. So yeah, it's like this synergy of doing something that's meaningful to me personally, you know, getting in better shape, you know, exercising, getting that run in, but then also having somebody come with me to do it.
Yeah.
It's not just about the group and it's not just about me. It's about both at the same time.
That's really cool. I don't know that I've heard that, like helping each other achieve goals is like, you know, and just it's meaningful, right? It's like, oh well, this guy knows that I want to improve in this area and they're willing to show up and support me. Like how cool is that, right? I mean, I think that's a really really crucial piece that you're calling out there. I love that. I curious as you think about some of the other stuff, and I want to let you answer, but I have a guess here, but some of the other second F events, have you been able to do many of those? Like there's some happy hours or trivia nights or lunches, that sort of things that fit in your schedule.
I've been to a couple of the first Friday lunches, and those are tons of fun. I've been to a couple of the happy hours out at Jukes when they started doing that for the Westo guys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the CSOPs, I've done a couple of those. I didn't do this most recent one in January, but, got to lead part of one 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So those are tons of fun. It's fun to see guys, like, first of all, like in their work clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You clean up nice, man. Yeah. Or, hey, you look just as scrubby as you do at 5:30 in the morning.
Right. That's
funny. But seeing guys in kind of a different light, different element, you know, some guys are the same regardless of their environment, like Doppler. You know, he's always cracking a joke and being inappropriate no matter what setting he's in. But it's good.
What do you think about like the CSOPs? What's different about that maybe makes that connection a little bit stronger? Just it's like a bigger event kind of thing, you think? Or
yeah. I mean, first of all, F3's gotten so big that like there's guys I've only ever seen on an Amarama, you know, that I see for the first time at a CSOP. I'm like, oh, hey, yeah. You know, I know you post down at Bell Tower or whatever it's called.
Yeah, right.
I've never been there. It's 45 minutes away from my house. So,
yeah.
I think it gives you a sense of how big our community is and that you're a part of something that really is huge and impactful. Like if you think about like the relationships you form on a small scale, you know, like in me in Westo, I don't need to venture more than 15 minutes away from my house. And still I know like dozens, maybe hundreds of guys. Mm-hmm. And then you get to a CSOP and you just visually see like, whoa, there's like a whole football stadium's worth of people here. And they're all having the same kind of experience I am.
Right.
It's like these guys I've never met, but like you still feel like you kind of know them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It's humbling to realize how big the community is that you're a part of.
Yeah.
You're like, man, we are large and we can do some really amazing things.
Yeah. Well, and even if, like you're saying, even if you don't directly know or have even worked out with those guys other than that CSOP event, you just get to kind of feel the magnitude of the whole group when we come together. I love that idea, thought of that. I'm curious, and I meant to ask you this earlier, but when you first came in, so you first showed up at Top Rope, what was kind of your progression? Like, did you go, were you there like hooked right away? You went Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or what was kind of your progression and how'd you decide where you were going to go?
Yeah. Well, so it was mostly, I wanted to like know somebody where I was going first. Yeah. It kind of greases the wheels, makes it easier to kind of slide in. And, so I would just check with Beaver like, hey man, where are you going to go? And he was kind of like a once or twice a week guy. So I think maybe we went to Combine that Friday.
Hmm.
And then maybe we went to Octagon the next Monday and then, you know, took some days off. We never worked out on Tuesdays cause that was a rival study day.
Yeah.
It was kind of a more of a slower on ramp. I didn't jump in with both feet or anything. Yeah. Part of it was just cause I was so dang sore after the first workout using muscles I hadn't used in a while. I was like, man, I need to recover a little bit before I do that again. But eventually, you know, we kind of started to build it up and got to know a few of the other guys and felt comfortable just showing up wherever I wanted to. So,
nice.
You know, I would go to Helix a lot because that's pretty close to my house. Started venturing out to the Maze because that was kind of the closest Thursday site. I guess the Berm is closer, but the Berm has an early start too. So, regardless, I have to leave my house at 5 a.m. to get to either one.
Right. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What, you know, as you think about that, were there other guys you ran into that you knew or not really?
So Sister Act is the worship leader at our church. And so they had just launched Main Stage maybe like that same summer when I started. So I ventured down there a few times to say hi to him and, But yeah, most of the guys I've met in F3, I didn't know before F3. Wow. I would say nowadays I'm meeting guys outside and like they start talking to me about F3 and I'm like, oh yeah, F3. Yeah, I do that.
Yeah. I know that. I know F3. They're trying to EH you.
Almost going the opposite direction. Like, I feel like F3 is, it's like a 50-50 shot if I'm talking to a guy, if he's posting an F3 somewhere.
Yeah, or he's heard of it, right? And he's just been a hard no to whoever's trying to get him out. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I always love that you run into somebody at the grocery store and I'm trying to be better at knowing people's real names, but it never fails, right? I'm like, oh, that's actually Hindsight, you know? And then you're like, what's his real name? And I have to ask him, you know? But I think we all give each other grace there. Talk me through. So the other question for you, especially because of your leadership at Combine, what do you think in terms of like QSource, right? It's kind of like, it's like that coffee plus kind of thing. There's a little bit of second F and maybe connects us to the third F, but what do you think it is that makes that an effective way to get to know guys?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if nothing else, it's a good conversation starter to talk about deeper things. Mm-hmm. Some of the QSource topics are hard to stretch into more than like a 10 to 15 minute discussion. Mm-hmm. Whereas other ones, it's like, oh shoot, guys, it's 7:15. I got to get out of here. We've been talking for an hour, but I got to get to work and mm-hmm. let's table this and come back and visit it again later.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the kind of, hey, today we're talking about our relationship with our wives. How you doing with that? You know?
Yeah. Right.
And it just like can of worms opens it up it's good to hear like other perspectives, other prioritizations, other approaches to parenting or whatever the situation is that day. And yet like, you know, a lot of people when it comes to QSource, they're really informed by their faith and how they approach certain things. But that's not like the unanimous perspective. And so, yeah, it's just, it forces deeper, more meaningful digging into hard topics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love it. I've always loved QSource just because it's like you said, a little more specific topics, right? Than just the standard, you know, whatever, how was the football game or whatever, you know, guys talk about. And so then you get a little bit deeper on some topics that really require you to share how you process life, right? It's more than just how do you prefer to do pushups, right? It's like, we're okay, let's take it to the next level, which I love. And I think you did a great job leading at Combine. Cause I think it takes a special person to kind of be able to unpack some of those. Like you mentioned, some of those concepts, there's a ton of jargon and Dredd makes up some of his own words that you're like, I'm not sure what a, you know, like what's a lizard and a bullfrog and all that stuff. But, you know, the other piece on second F would be curious if you, have you ventured into like a shield lock or any of that sort of thing? Has that been something that you found helpful or where you at with that?
Yeah. So I've actually been part of two shield locks. The first kind of never really got off the ground. We didn't really know what we wanted to do with the shield lock. So we never like met intentionally as a shield lock, except for like maybe one time. Mm. The rest was like, hey, where are you guys posting? Let's meet up there. And then the second one, you know, we started off pretty strong, but just life just got in the way. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like we could never all get together in the same spot at the same time. There would always be like at least one or two guys missing. And then, yeah, it just never could get that ball rolling downhill. Mm-hmm. So been part of two shield locks, currently part of none.
Okay. Yeah. That's okay. I totally get it. I mean, that's one of those things too, that I think is just like, as guys, I know I'm not very good at like initiating that. Right. It's like, well, let's make this formal or, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah. So, you know, I think we're all sort of experimenting with how do we engage in that sort of another layer of accountability, right? With some of the guys, which you probably have that in your Bible study setting too, right? It's kind of these
Like on that, it's such like an addictive thing to have people you can be really vulnerable with and like know that they're not going to judge you for it, that they like totally have your best interests at heart. And it's like super intimidating to get to that point. But once you're there, it's so like addicting. Mm-hmm. And so, even though like I don't have a track record of success here, I would encourage anybody listening to like really try and lean in and find something like that, so, be it a Bible study or a Shield Lock or something less formal. I don't know, a mentorship kind of agreement. But
yeah,
to live life unexamined is kind of a dangerous way to be. Yeah. To have someone who can an objective third party who can speak into your life and speak truth and speak just to say the hard things out loud so that someone else is saying it to you is a very valuable and important thing.
Yeah.
And it goes against like everything that society tells us as men we should be. We should be strong. We should be dependable. We should be impenetrable and never vulnerable. And we all know that that's BS. Like nobody can be that way all the time.
Right.
We all know that. Let's all just admit it and move, like lean into that, you know? Yeah. But it's a scary thing to do.
Yeah, man, I love that. That's gold right there. Just make sure you're living an examined life, right? Get somebody else that you trust that can sort of give you that real direct feedback. I love that. I'm curious too. And, you know, since you're familiar with the Concentrica, I would be curious, like, you know, how's your relationship with like your M and your 2.0s since being involved in F3? Is it different or the same? Or, and would also love to just like, what do they think of this kind of crazy adult recess thing that you do?
Yeah. I would say like fully honest, my wife, our relationship hasn't really changed much. Yeah. I feel like I was always a pretty like attentive, patient, supportive husband before.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say F3 gave me like a new well of reserves to draw on in terms of that patience and that, you know, just, I can't think of the word, but like I will always be available to do whatever I need to do, you know, cause she has kind of a crazy career and sometimes it like falls on me like, hey, I have to get all four kids to school and pick them up from school and put them all to bed tonight and all of that. And you know, that wears you out. Yeah. But I think F3, despite the fact that I'm actually waking up earlier and expending more energy, I have like this new reserve of energy to draw from when it comes to pouring into my kids and my wife. My kids think F3 is awesome.
Yeah.
I brought the oldest three to a couple of the 2.0 workouts. And my oldest is always like, hey, Dad, when's the next one I can come to? And, you know, he's probably old enough. He could just start coming all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, they think it's awesome and they look forward to every time we can do a 2.0 beat down. And
cause you, you guys have, you have four kids, right?
Yep. Four kids.
So what are their ages?
10, 7, 4, and 2.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, the 10 year old, I mean, you know, he's, you know,
yeah.
What's your take on, does it make you nervous to get him around sort of the guys at 10 years old, or you feel like it's a good exposure?
I think it's fantastic exposure, especially for young men, like to see a community of men who are like bettering themselves, lifting each other up, always picking up the six, like, oh, what a great environment to be in. Like if there's any, like, this is what I want your life to look like, it's this. Mm-hmm. I want you to be part of a community that supports each other, that encourages each other, that drives you to do better, to hold you to certain standards, but also like never get down on you if you don't meet those standards. Like, it's so ideal. And it, like from that perspective that, yeah, if there's some cuss words, hey, that's real life.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I know that I've been on a few text threads where that debate of like, what's that age where, you know, you can bring them out. And it's like, well, it's up to the dad, right? If the dad is like, hey, you know, somebody's COT could be whatever. And, you know, so I think that's, it'll be fun. We're getting ready to have our baby number three. And as we don't know the gender. And as I'm thinking it could be a boy, I'm having all these sort of thoughts of pressure of like, oh my gosh, how do I raise a boy? You know? So, but then I'm like, well, wait a minute. I got all these guys that I'm around that I can, you know, could be mentors at least. Right.
Right.
You know, the other piece I want to get your thoughts, because you've mentioned it a couple times about just being in this Bible study. And so would love to hear what's your faith journey been like, just maybe even if you go back to kind of growing up in Arlington and what that was like.
Oh, yeah, sure. We grew up in a great Christian household. My parents were very, very devout and very intentional about bringing us into communities of other believers, just to reinforce and show that, like, you know, oftentimes Christians are portrayed as like dorks or like losers or whatever, but like, hey, we're pretty cool people too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So I went to like a private Christian school for elementary and then went to public high school. Had a great community of people around me, that, you know, all of my friends and all of my friends' parents and everybody was kind of speaking the same language and just encouraging and holding us accountable to, the same lessons we were getting taught at home. Mm. And so we try to seek the same kind of thing for our kids. Granted, they don't go to a private Christian school, but like try to foster good community of believers around them as well. That's always been an important thing in our household. We, like I said, we go to Brookside Church. We've been going there for, I don't know, a long time.
Do you guys go to the main campus or you go to the one out here in Elkhorn?
We go to the main campus.
Okay.
Yeah. We just, I think we actually are closer to the Elkhorn one, but we just never stopped going to the main campus even when they got the new one. Yep. I love it. So we try to, you know, read the Bible with our kids frequently. Christmas time, we have several traditions around Advent and like speaking about what this really means for our faith and why do we really celebrate Christmas and Easter is big and what does this whole thing mean and why do we do all the things that we do. And it's you know, F3 is not Christian, but I think a lot of the ideas that F3 puts forward are at least Christian adjacent. Like the whole concept of like the third F, being part of something bigger than yourself, serving your community. It's like, why is that an important idea? Well, I mean, it's all over the Bible about how we're supposed to die to ourselves and how we're supposed to serve those around us selflessly, being a servant leader. Mm-hmm. So many concepts like treating your wife with love and respect and being gentle and being caring and all these things. They go together, not explicitly like because Jesus told us to or something, right. But like all those ideas are very, very close to each other. So, that's why I think F3 is so successful and is such a positive environment that I would want to bring my kids around us.
Yeah.
Even though we don't say the name of Jesus out loud, it's these ideas are still very important to who we want to be as a family and who I want my kids to grow up to be like. I still feel good about them being there.
Yeah. Well, I was just talking to somebody this morning on a pre-run about, so the original QSORs, they came out with these like PowerPoint slides back in 2018. And originally each Q point had a Bible verse that was associated with it. And on the podcast, Dredd was kind of, they were giving him some flack about, you know, I thought we were open to all men kind of thing. And his response was really just the Bible is the oldest leadership book that we have. So that was sort of his take. And then, you know, if you fast forward to now, they've removed those verses. So most guys don't really know that. But I think to your point, it's using that as a foundation, but still being open to guys that, you know, aren't, you know, haven't decided that Jesus is their savior or that that's who they're following.
Right.
What, you know, something that I want to ask you about, because I don't hear this in your story, but I hear it pretty much 9 times out of 10 is sort of the, grew up in a Christian home, went to college, drifted away, and then sort of made my way back to some belief system as I started to grow my family. Sure. What, I mean, you went to Texas A&M, right? So surely there was a lot of shenanigans going on there. But is that part of your story that you're leaving out, or is it, or were you able to?
No. If anything, college is where my faith really became real. You know, I would say like through high school, I almost would probably say I viewed the Bible as like a rule book. Follow these rules and you'll have a good life. You'll live, you know, you'll have a good marriage. You'll have a whatever. But it was in college that it really like, okay, but why? Why is it that this is the way that leads to prospering? Hmm. It's just good ideas or is there something more to it? I would say I started actually like really looking into the claims kind of almost from a apologetic standpoint of like, okay, what really are the facts about who Jesus was? Mm-hmm. Like, was this a real dude or is this just a myth? Like so many people, you know, want to believe. And I mean, it is unanimous among serious scholars that yes, he was definitely a real person. He definitely lived, mm-hmm. you know, 2000 years ago. he definitely died on a cross by crucifixion, all of these things. And so then you get into the deeper claims of like, okay, what about the beginning of the universe? And just kind of getting like this intellectual side of like being able to defend it from a logical standpoint, in addition to my personal, you know, experience.
Yeah.
Anecdotes are very powerful things, but they're also like so easily tossed out because, well, that wasn't my experience, you know? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to have a little bit more of a foundation there. I worked at a summer camp. Every summer I was in college at a place called Kanakuk in Missouri. Oh, yeah. And
I've heard of that.
Yeah. That place was great. And again, it was like being part of a community that was all just centered around the same thing. That's where it really became real and really gave more reason to why I chose to follow the faith and be a follower of Jesus. So
that's super cool. So you still had this period of searching. And I think that's where, you know, like for me, like Perfect World. And this totally reminds me of our conversation at QSource I believe you were there and Scuba was there, right? So you've got like two engineers, like, and we're just getting into this deep conversation about faith and how do you know if you haven't seen and all of this stuff. And I recently interviewed Scuba, and like, it's so helpful to have all these different guys bringing up their different perspectives. Cause it's in that searching, right? Like you can't have faith unless you have doubt. Right. So like, I think you, I don't know. It's just really cool to like hear everybody's perspectives and collectively helping each other search and sort of validate what we believe in. You know, it's amazing. I would be curious, like as you look at F3 and you have this really strong faith, I mean, where do you see opportunities or do you think it's okay the way it is in terms of like, you know, the way we define faith and then the way we kind of help support guys as they're willing to explore what they believe, or I don't know if that question even makes sense, but just kind of curious your thoughts there.
Yeah. I mean, I also know that there can be like a negative stereotype of like Jesus dudes lifting weights that can be kind of, if you're not a follower of Jesus, like, I don't really want to touch that, you know, like, And I don't think I'd be the first person to say that either. So I think that, if you really believe what the Bible says about like where we come from and how God created the world, and then these things that we all, I think accept to be true and, really believe to be true that we can't like prove, you know, like what really is the best way to have a good, strong marriage? Like, of course that's going to be a biblical principle, but also like just going to work itself out in the natural way that life progresses.
Yeah.
Being a good leader at your business and taking care of your people. Like everybody has a bad boss story and a great boss story. And, oh, hey, by the way, the principles that made this guy a great boss are all in the Bible. Like it's, you ought to expect that what the Bible says to be true is also what we just naturally discover to be true.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the way F3 is set up and allows those opportunities for those discussions to happen naturally through QSource or some other way makes a lot of sense that like, well, yeah, I didn't have to learn that painful lesson maybe because like I already believed this way of living to be the right way because I learned it from the Bible. Here, let me explain. Or yeah, wow, I totally blew that. I guess what I'm trying to say is the way it's set up, it allows for those discussions to happen naturally. And it doesn't ostracize anybody. It allows them to be like, yeah, I see what you're saying. And, you know, I still don't know if I'm fully on board with this Jesus thing, but like, I totally can appreciate that perspective and it seems to work for you.
Yeah, for sure. So. No, I love it. And I think you're spot on. I think it's just like you said earlier, right? It's like we get out there, we're doing difficult things together, building relationships. And then, you know, it's like I think back to like college when I was doing campus crusade stuff. And it was like, you know, it was like you would walk up to somebody and like ask them to give their life to Jesus, right? Without knowing them at all.
Right.
And so, and you know, and so like in F3, it's like, well, we build the relationship. And if it comes up, it comes up. Right. But it's not like, I'm not in F3, so I can try to convert all these people to Christianity, right? Like, I'm just there because I need to work out and I need to get better too.
And today I'm talking about getting your finances as fit as your physique. Our very own F3 Omaha brother, Jean-Claude, a.k.a. Michael Pfluger at Avior Wealth Management, specializes in building personalized financial plans. He understands the journey you walk in life as a man of faith, safeguarding your family, and creating a legacy. Jean-Claude is ready to help you plan your finances with intention so that you can live with purpose. And that's just the beginning when you work with the Avior Wealth team. Visit avior.com/F3. That's AVIOR.com/F3. And see how Michael can guide your financial journey today.
You know, would be curious too. You mentioned a little bit like the, so third F to me is like, we kind of have the faith, like spiritual piece, and then also the community service sort of aspect. Have you had a chance to do much of the community service stuff, or how has that gone for you?
Well, I participated in the blood drive for the first time last week.
How'd you do? Did you win?
I was middle of the pack, nothing special.
Nice.
But yeah, no, that's always good. You know, I kind of almost view F3 as like a third F giving back to the community experience in and of itself. Mm. Like, there's so many men who just need F3.
Yeah.
That like being in F3 and like making sure you reach out to the FNG and making sure that that guy who is posting every now and then, you just make sure he's coming back and that he's missed and that people notice when you're not there. You know, there's a community service element of like giving these men who are part of the group the service of like making sure they're known and seen and missed when they're not there and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So beyond that, beyond my site queue and my blood drive, I don't think I've done any of the other F or third F activities.
I think a lot of guys, at least for me, it's scheduling. And then it's like, can I bring my 2.0 that's younger than 12? You know, not yet, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about, you know, plant, grow, and serve small workout groups. And so then what does that service look like at an individual AO level? And I think it's just like you said, like showing up, right? Being willing to listen to another guy that shows up that's maybe going through something, or getting on the queue schedule, or, you know, helping to pick up the cones at the end, like just these really small ways, but that really keeps it going. Or reaching out to somebody that maybe had a difficult prayer request that they brought up. Or, you know, like you said, the F&Gs. I mean, there's so many ways you can give back without having to, you know, necessarily do it.
And I would also add, like, making sure the six is always picked up. I've heard from so many guys about how powerful that was. And I've only been the six a handful of times when maybe I was like in a super elite Smurf group or something. It really struck a chord with me how impactful that can be. Like for a new guy who hasn't worked out maybe ever, or like in the past 20 years, and he feels really intimidated by being in this group of really fit dudes, just making sure somebody's with him the whole time. Like I said, multiple times I've heard that being a really powerful thing. So,
yeah. You wonder, there's some guys that you wonder, well, I don't think you have to wonder, that you just know they wouldn't have come back, right? If your very first workout, you're just left behind in the dust, like how discouraging would that be, right? Like, you know, I think some of these amazing stories, like I saw a Bullseye the other day, and it's just like, you know, he keeps coming back because he knows we want him around, you know, and as evidenced by, we keep picking him up. So I love that. Well, talk us through, you know, we think about our mission statement, right? So we're trying to invigorate male community leadership. And I do have to say, as I'm thinking about this question, I think you still have probably my all-time favorite VQ pre-blast. I don't know. That should be, I don't know if it's pinned to your profile or where guys could watch that at, but I think it's worth a watch if they haven't seen it. But talk us through, like, you know, VQ and then leading at Combine. Did those have an impact on your leadership, or how did those things sort of fit into the big?
Well, okay. So I think the pre-blast you're talking about was actually for Spike. Oh. And it wasn't my VQ. I don't know, maybe like a year in, I did that one. Oompa had just gotten flagged.
I thought it was your VQ, but it was not.
No, not my VQ. Okay. But, But yeah, so that I had that idea kicking around in my head for a long time. I actually used to make like those Brady Bunch style multi-track like recordings because I wasn't a college acapella group, and I want like I had these delusions of grandeur where I was going to get every guy in my group at the time to like record a track, and we're going to post to YouTube, and we were going to be famous. And granted, like, I think if we had really executed that 14 years ago when I was actually in an acapella group, it would have been something. But anyway, I digress. I had done those a few times in college, and so I really wanted to do that. And at the time, like, the tune I used was kind of like a meme. It was kind of everywhere. And so I think that's one of the reasons it worked really well. But yeah, the traction that thing got was, I did not expect it. I was expecting like a few chuckles, you know, a few retweets, but F3 Nation got a hold of that. And they even mentioned it on their podcast, that pre-blast. So yeah, it was pretty good.
Still out there? Can I find it if I
Google? Yeah. If you go to my X profile, it should be on there. I mean, basically the only thing I ever post is, you know, pre-blasts and back blasts or Namoramas. Okay. So you might have to go back. It was in June of 2022, I think.
Okay.
If you wanted to look it up.
Awesome. So. What about leading at the combine? How was that? What was that like to get the flag there and be able to take that role on?
Oh, it was good. It was something I sought out. I wanted to get either the top rope flag or the combine flag. And at the time, top rope was like really into, you have to be a wrestler to be the next site you hear. And I was like, I've never done that. So let me go talk to Killswitch, because he was the site cue before me. And I think he was like, oh, I'm so glad somebody asked me to take the flag. And so, I was looking forward to that. I think like leading cue source every week can sometimes be a little intimidating, just because you have to prepare a little bit. You got to read the night before and be ready to help lead the discussion. I was really intentional about having the cue for the combine lead the discussion for cue source at coffee afterwards. Just to take a little bit of the load off of me as the site cue, but also I think it's really healthy to hear different perspectives every week. And just see, give guys that opportunity to step into that leading a discussion. And like, some guys were really intimidated by that, and some guys were like, oh yeah, sure, I'll lead it. No big deal. Yeah. I think that was a good like forced leadership opportunity.
Yeah. Well, and it's a different layer, right? It's like
it's
different than cueing a workout, right? You got to try to kind of piece together some of the key points and try to get guys to engage in a discussion, right? Which is it's different than just telling them what exercises to do for sure.
And like, total credit to the packs, because I don't think anybody was like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, sometimes guys couldn't because they had to get to work or whatever, but pretty much everybody I asked was like, hey, we really try to have the cue lead cue source afterwards. Everybody was like, okay, yeah, I'll do it.
No, that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
What, you know, talk us through like any advice or things that you would have for other guys that are maybe leading a site, anything that you kind of picked up along the way that you feel like would benefit other guys listening?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I think, some real practical advice. One thing I did was I made a map of my site, and I pointed out all the different elements that you can use as a cue. If you want to do wall work, this wall is really good for that. We do actually have a basketball court at the combine. If you didn't know, if you want to incorporate that somehow, here's the baseball. Here's obviously the track. Everybody knows about the track. That's a good practical thing to have a good jumping off point. And it's super, super helpful for, especially for guys doing their VQ. I would say if you do get some FNGs that are maybe thinking about doing their VQ, like, sometimes guys need a little extra encouragement or someone to push them and believe in them, that like, yeah, you're totally ready. Oh, you've been doing this for 3 months. Let's get you on the schedule. Hey, here's the open dates. What do you think? And sometimes guys need that little extra bit of encouragement. And so that's good. I think if you view the job of a site cue as you're here to serve this site, you're here to serve the guys at the site, what can I do it's not just about me getting my workout, but how can I make sure that, you know, this guy comes back or this guy comes back, or, you know, what's working and what's not. Mm-hmm. And just being like humble to like pivot if you need to say, hey, you know, or just, I guess, have an awareness of your site that like, this field is really bad. Let's not use this field today or whatever. To just view it as like, I'm serving the guys at the site. I'm serving this site, and being willing to do whatever you need to do to kind of make that smooth and just a positive experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And the map of your site is such a great idea, right? Because sometimes like guys are queuing there that haven't even posted there maybe, or you know, I mean, I know there were a few times where I'm like, okay, remind me where this is at that site. So having some sort of map or some way to just, you know, remember, orient yourself to the space, I think is super helpful.
Yeah.
What about like succession planning? How did that go?
Yeah, that was pretty easy, actually. Star-Lord has the flag now, and I mean, talk about like an A-grade candidate to take over mm-hmm. a site. He started F3, I think it was just like last summer, maybe, or I can't remember exactly when, but by the winter, I was like, I need to make sure I get this guy to queue my site because somebody else is going to ask him.
Yeah, for sure.
So I asked him, it was probably like late January, early February. You know, knowing that he lived in the neighborhood and like, this is the closest site to his house. And it made sense also for him, not just for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely asked very early to like make sure I got him locked up. And I think that's a good idea to have an idea of like, who's coming here all the time, first of all. And, you know, do they seem to like thrive in this environment, to thrive in a potential leadership role? I don't think Star-Lord had like anything that he was officially in charge of, but he had started like the year-long Murph challenge at that mm-hmm. point that he had Summer Catch, and I don't know who else is doing. He's probably like 200 in at this point.
Yeah.
and yeah, like he was clearly like, he got it in terms of F3. Like he was there for the workouts. He like loved the idea of the community, and I was like, man, this guy is what you look for mm-hmm. in a potential leader. And so yeah, I asked him, and he was like, oh, me? Really? I'm so honored. And I was like, dude, I am thrilled that you said yes.
Right. Well, anytime you got a SpaceX guy, Space Force guy, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I remember a few times I would be at Combine for QSource, and he would show up from another workout. So I think he really is into QSource too, you know, so definitely a good fit. Well, yeah, I just have to say thank you for your leadership. You know, I think those sites where you've got, you know, QSource in addition to just the standard beatdown have a lot of extra responsibility, but I think you led extremely well. And just, you know, as I hear your story, just hearing kind of the, you know, just the discipline and the consistency over time, you know, from a faith perspective, leadership perspective, you know, just really enjoy getting to hear that. You know, I think it's just so cool to hear and learn about the guys that we get to work out with on a regular basis. So just appreciate you. And would just sort of ask, as we're kind of wrapping up, like, where you mentioned kind of early on, you're kind of in this, you know, like a little bit of a in between sort of phase, but where do you need prayers and encouragement, or, you know, if we see out there, what's something we should check in with you on?
Yeah, I would say if you want to pre-run somewhere and you're looking for a partner, hit me up.
Okay.
Cause I could certainly use the accountability in that department as well. Asking me to come out is super helpful to get me out.
Okay.
Yep. to give me a place and a reason to be somewhere. Yeah, we're just in a really busy phase of life. We've got three kids that are in sports, and so it's so easy to come up with reasons why I'm too tired to post.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, just as the grind continues, to not feel it grind me down personally. Yep.
Awesome. Well, I love it. And I'll hit you up next time I'm pre-running. I'm there's a lot of shovel passes this week, so I'm trying to make it to all of those. And, you know, but let's we'll wrap up here in a little name-a-rama.
All right.
Lee Hardy, 38, the plague.
Plague. Matt Nelson, 36, Barbershop.
Barbershop. And do we do, do you have a call sign? Or nobody can sing as good as you?
Sometimes guys go, ooh-wee.
Oh, nice. There you go. I'm going to find that that video and link it here when we post this episode so guys can check out that pre-blast. That was epic. But
all right, appreciate
you,
good. Man.
Have a good rest of your day.
All right. Yep, you too. Bye.
Man, such an amazing leader, husband, father, man. Just an honor to know our brother Barbershop, and I reached out to him to just get an update and see if maybe I could share some of his thoughts, some of his words. And so he sent me an email that I will just read to you from his perspective. So from our brother Barbershop, he says, "Hey, F3 Omaha. Barbershop here. I wanted to provide a quick update as to what's going on with me and my family. At the end of September, my two-year-old daughter Sophie started to have balance problems. For a while, we thought she was just a clumsy two-year-old, but as time went on, the issue got worse, not better. On September 29th, we took her into the hospital to get it checked out. The doctors did an MRI and found a mass right above her brainstem, as well as several masses along her spine. Absolutely heartbreaking news. She had to have emergency brain surgery to remove the tumor in her brain and would need follow-up chemotherapy to treat the rest of the disease in her spine. Later, we got the official diagnosis, medulloblastoma, group 3, which is the most aggressive version of the disease. The treatment plan is to have a total of 6 rounds of chemotherapy, each about a month apart. The first 3 rounds are done at Children's Hospital and involve a week in the hospital followed by 2 to 3 weeks at home dealing with the effects of the treatment. The next 3 rounds are done at UNMC and are called high-dose chemotherapy with stem cell rescue. These rounds will be much more intense and will essentially require Sophie to stay in the hospital for the full 3 months. Currently, we have completed the first 2 rounds of chemo and will start our 3rd round on Friday, December 13th. Sophie has handled treatment pretty well, all things considered. Every round, we learn a little bit more on how to effectively handle the side effects and give her the best chance to bounce back. After the first round, we had to be readmitted due to the chemo side effects, but after the second round, we were able to weather the storm and keep her well enough to stay home. Hopefully, we will continue to make strides and figure out how to keep her hydrated, fed, and not nauseous. We are dreading the 3-month stay at UNMC as the treatment is going to be much more grueling. That will run from mid-January to mid-April if everything stays on schedule. Sophie lost a lot of her motor function as a result of her surgery. She's still not able to walk or crawl anymore, and her speech is much slower and softer than before. The good news is that cognitively she is unaffected. She just needs to relearn how to move and communicate. We are doing therapy as much as we can around the side effects of her disease, but the road to full recovery is a long one. The outpouring of support from all of those around us has been incredible. T-Ball and Fine Print did a GoFundMe right after we got our diagnosis, and with the support of F3 Omaha, we were able to raise enough money to cover our out-of-pocket maximum on my health insurance, which is great. So many guys have been asking how they can help, and it's so humbling having that level of support all around. My biggest ask above everything else is to keep praying. Our God is one of healing and of miracles, and I'm in desperate need of both. From the bottom of my heart, thank you to F3 Omaha for all the ways you have helped and continue to help. I hope to see you all in the gloom real soon. Barbershop. Father God, we come to you with heavy hearts, lifting up Barbershop's daughter Sophie. We ask for your healing hand to be upon her. Strengthen her body, renew her spirit, and surround her and her family with your peace that surpasses all understanding. Grant wisdom to the doctors and caregivers and fill their hearts with hope and comfort in this challenging time. We hold on to your promise in Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. May they feel your presence, love, and strength every step of this journey. Amen.